And welcome back. For the seventh time in 23 years, the East-West Gateway Council of Governments has put out what it calls a strategic assessment of the St. Louis metropolitan area in Missouri and Illinois. It's titled Where We Stand. It basically measures how we compare with 49 other most populous metro areas in scores of categories such as health, racial disparity, housing, crime, environment, and government, just to name a few. Among the areas assessed, New York City, Los Angeles, Seattle, Dallas, and 35 others. There is some good news and some that is not so good. Here from East-West Gateway to talk about the findings are Jim Wild, the interim executive director, and John Posey, is director of research of East-West Gateway. Gentlemen, thanks so much for being with us. Nice to have you.
Thank you.
Jim, let me just start with you and get kind of an overview. How do we look in this area overall, just in a very general way?
So in a very general way, I would say things haven't changed much since our last iteration of the plan. Our population's getting older. The percentage of our population that are our youth is actually getting smaller. For job growth, we're, you know, near the bottom. And income, we're in about the middle of the pack is nationally.
Yeah. And basically, you've done all the research on this. How did you compile this data?
Well, we used a variety of data sources. We greatly expanded the range of variables that we looked at this time. We have more than 200 tables that provide these rankings of the St. Louis region. So a lot of these were census variables from the American Community Survey. And a lot of government sources, and some we just tracked down. And on all of them, we rank the 50 largest metropolitan areas from highest value to lowest value. We don't assign a score of whether it's better to be at the top or better to be at the bottom, but we just provide the rankings. So it's a greatly expanded report this time.
Now that we have it, what do we do with it?
That's a good question.
Just throw it off the wall and see what sticks?
Sure. So we try to share this information with as many organizations, agencies, and people in the region as we can. The hope is that they take this plan not, as an umbrella, but look at it individually, each of the categories that we presented and we've done the data research on, and try to apply it to the work that they do on a daily basis. Organizations like Ready by 21 and even organizations like the Regional Chamber can use this information to help inform what they do on a daily basis.
Just in terms of clarification, I've been asked this a couple of times today with regard to the metro statistical area. We're talking about 7 or 8 counties or so in Missouri and Illinois. Why is it limited to this or expanded to those counties?
Right. Well, the big reason is because that's the level of geography at which data are available. So you're right. And the St. Louis metropolitan statistical area now includes 15 counties, 7 in Missouri. I'm counting the city of St. Louis as a county, and then 8 in Illinois. And so the these metropolitan statistical areas are designated by the U.S. Census Bureau, and so a lot of information is available.
Does that serve to dilute the data in any way? And I'm looking at some of the things that are getting a lot of attention today. Basically, racial disparity is causing all of the headlines. But we know there are pockets of poverty, mm-hmm. and pockets where there are more African Americans than there are whites. And yet this expanded area would tend to dilute some of those figures. In other words, the racial disparity would be worse than it would appear in these numbers.
Yeah, that's a possibility. Although, if you look at our metropolitan statistical area, more than 90% of the population is within the core 8 counties that we serve. So you're right. It does have a statistical effect, but I don't think it's that big a one.
Right. Okay, well, let's talk about some of the specifics, because I think that's what people want to hear about. And as I say, racial disparity has been getting a lot of the attention. Not surprising, given what's been going on in our community for the last year or so. I'll turn to you once again, and if, for a general kind of overview, we can't just rattle off numbers. People will not absorb them. But very generally, what have you found?
Yeah, I've looked at these statistics over and over, and every time I do, I'm still kind of surprised and shocked. Just to give a broad brush, black family is about three times as likely to be in poverty compared to a white family. The one that that always gets me is that a black infant is more than three times as likely to die in the first year of life compared to a white one. And so there are a number of initiatives, I think, that are doing good work to work on some of these issues. You know, I think in the past you've had Jason Purnell, who wrote For the Sake of All, which has a number of recommendations on health issues. And Jim mentioned Ready by 21, which is a group of philanthropies that are trying to unite to coordinate human services. It's a shocking problem.
Well, we're third, as I get it, in the infant mortality, the disparity between white and black infant mortality, third amongst the 50.
Yeah, that's right. And it's very high. Now, one thing that you notice, I think, when you look at the statistics is that a lot of the Rust Belt regions that are similar to us, regions that were manufacturing powerhouses maybe 50 years ago, are in similar situations. So I think some of this disparity is related to the fact that a lot of these Rust Belt areas are still kind of struggling to redefine their niche in the world economy. And I think there's ample scholarship to show that the decline of manufacturing had a disproportionate effect on the African-American community.
Jim, did it really surprise you, given what's been going on and all the discussion we've had about inequities in our community lately, that did these numbers surprise you?
They didn't really surprise me, but part of that is because we'd actually updated this particular area, the disparity subject, about a year ago, shortly after Ferguson had occurred. Actually, the work that John and his staff had been doing was going on prior to Ferguson. And when that issue came up, we decided to release that information to just kind of solidify the understanding of some of why what was going on there happened.
So. There again, I'll go back, John, to the notion that it's probably even worse than it would appear here because of the size of the area surveyed.
Yeah, you might be right about that, although I think, when you get out to the outlying areas like Warren County or McCoupin County,
exactly.
I'm not sure what effect that has, but it's a great point.
The other area in which that impact would be perhaps similar is the area of crime. I've got some figures here. Again, I don't want to burden people, but for overall crime, we're ranked number 30th, just at about the halfway point. We are eighth in the country amongst the 50 areas surveyed in murders. Mm-hmm. Well, we all know what's going on in St. Louis right now. Your next report is going to probably push us up a notch or two.
Yeah, maybe. Crime is one that I think it's important to look at the context a lot because you're right. We are high on the murder rate. But when you look at the overall crime rate, both violent and property crime rate, we're about in the middle. If you look at the murder rate specifically, you see we're just about in a tie with some of our nearby Midwestern regions like Indianapolis and Kansas City. And so I think that would be a good topic for future studies. There's some similarity about these regions, either in our economy or in our urban form or something else that's contributing to this.
And again, crime numbers are one of those things. The FBI uses this same area that you use for its crime statistics, correct?
Yes.
Which generally makes crime in the St. Louis area seem to be less than it actually is in our immediate area here.
Well, we could have a long conversation about the effect of geographic boundaries on crime rates. You know, every year when the statistics come out for the city of St. Louis, I think that actually exaggerates the problem and makes things seem too high. It all goes back to the famous 1876 divorce between city and county, which we won't go into. But looking at the city in isolation, I think skews things higher. So really, I think that looking at it from a regional perspective gives you more comparable numbers. You're looking more at apples and apples.
Jim, that's a better way to look at it, do you think?
I believe so, especially if you're comparing nationally because they're using the same geographic platform, mm-hmm. They're the metropolitan statistical area, as opposed to those county-level areas.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's look at another area here. I've got so many to get to in a limited amount of time. We just had a segment, you may have heard part of it, with regard to the environment and air quality and what have you. Mm-hmm. Very quickly here, we're 15th in the asthma risk category, 9th in toxic air releases, as I see it, and 7th and worst air quality?
Yeah, I would like to comment on the toxic release. One caveat about that is that the toxic release inventory doesn't assess the toxicity. It only assesses the total weight. But as far as our high ranking there, a lot of that was due to the Doe Run smelter, which now is closed. So I would expect that our ranking should go down, which in this case is better, on the next one. But yeah, we do have an above average asthma rate, and a lot of that is climate related. And but it should be pointed out that ozone levels, which are a key contributor to asthma, have been declining steadily over the last several years. So I think we're seeing some progress there at least.
Jim, what do you think information like this does to our regional image?
You know, it really depends on how we take that information and how we use it. I think a lot of people form an opinion about the region based off of the information just as you read it initially. But when you look at initiatives and activities that are going on in the region to try to address these things, we're really doing a fairly good job at trying to address them. It's just getting to it all.
Well, this is the seventh such report that we've had. Can we point to anything that positives in terms of accomplishments, improvements, changes that have been made as a result of the earlier reports?
Sure. If you look at education, I think education we're doing much better, especially when you look at high school diplomas and bachelor's degrees. That's one area that really we've lifted up since 1992. So.
One of the things that caught my eye with education was regard to preschool education, which I guess everybody acknowledges is so very important. We're doing very well in that area.
Yeah, and if you look at past editions, that's been pretty consistent over the years. So that's something to take pride in. We're a little bit higher than average on both college attainment and postgraduate degrees. So we have some assets in education.
Again, this may be unfair to even ask you. I'll give it to both of you and start with you, John. You know, what do you think is the most positive thing about our region that has come out of this?
Well, you know, one of the things we did in the introductory chapter is this happens to be the 50th anniversary of East-West Gateway. So this is our 50th anniversary edition. And so we use that as an opportunity to reflect on 50 years of economic history. And one of the things we found is something that we've reported all along, which is that we are a slow growth region. We're consistently near the bottom for employment growth. But if you look at income, we're about in the middle. And in 2013, we were actually slightly higher than most of our peers. So there are a lot of regions that have experienced explosive job growth, but very low income growth. And so I don't know that we'd necessarily want to emulate those regions. So as far as income, affordability, I think St. Louis has a lot to brag about.
Ranks high in housing. I noticed that we're ninth in purchasing power, which is a positive, needless to say. Jim, what do you see as the positive?
There's a lot of positives here. One that comes to mind immediately because we're working on it right now is the fact that we're relatively low congestion in terms of transportation. We have a lot of freight movements, a lot of tonnage that comes through. And as a result of just kind of the conditions of the infrastructure in the region, East-West Gateway, the Regional Chamber, the Leadership Council of Southwestern Illinois, and Bi-State Development Agency are working together on a regional freight district. You're probably aware they've named Mary Lamy as the executive director just a month ago. And we're moving ahead to try to focus on bringing jobs to the region, focus on moving freight through the region and into the region in a more efficient and a better manner. So hopefully the emphasis on freight, utilizing the benefits that we have with our infrastructure right now, will help lead to more jobs.
You've got to know about problems before you can fix them, right?
That's exactly right.
What the advantage is here. We're talking about transportation. Let me point out, and this is a surprise to me, that we are 32nd in average commuter time. Mm-hmm. I would have thought we've done a lot better than that, better than some of the places in the Northeast, for instance, or the Far West.
We have low congestion, but we drive a lot of miles. We're a pretty spread out region, so those things partially balance each other out.
Yeah. Well, that, again, I say it was a surprise. A couple of things here with regard to population. The area that we're talking about, population of about 2.8 million people, that's
right.
Clear. And that puts us 19th in population amongst those areas that we've talked about. One of the things that I'm getting a kick out of, particularly with some of my millennial friends, and there are a lot of them here, is the fact that we are 41st in the country in the number of millennials.
Right.
And we are 8th in the number of people over 65. Jim, you alluded to that before, that we're an older population. What do you make of that?
Right. Yeah. I mean, it is one of the challenges for the region that we do have a higher median age and a higher senior population. I think that has implications for both housing policy and transportation policy. You know, we're starting to think more about what does it take to help people age in place, for example. On the other hand, just recently we've seen an increase in the number of college-educated youth in the region. So there may be some positive trends there as well.
Yeah. And I see here that we are 48th in immigrant population. Right. Another surprise to me, you know, we have this very large Bosnian community that everybody mm-hmm. talks about. And we have this effort that is being made now by the Mosaic Project
right.
to bring more in because they are so beneficial to the economy. That's a surprise to me.
Right. Yeah. And that's one of the good things about the comparative rankings. If I just told you that 4% of the population was foreign-born, it might not strike you as high or low. But yeah, we're 48th, so most of our peer regions attract a lot more immigrants than we do. And, you know, I'm old enough to remember how the Vietnamese reinvigorated the South Grand area back in the 80s, and more recently the Bosnians have as well. So yeah, projects like the Mosaic Project to try to make St. Louis a place that's appealing to immigrants and to foreign entrepreneurs, I think, is very interesting.
Do you have any thoughts on it? Go ahead.
Yeah, to that point also is, you know, when you look at immigration and those communities coming into St. Louis, they're the ones that are more likely to be opening up businesses and being entrepreneurs. And that's one direction I think St. Louis needs to be going is encouraging that entrepreneurship. I know the Mosaic Project is doing that, and I think there's a lot of positives for the region being a little more diverse in terms of ethnicity and just in terms of business too.
We've done a number of programs here on entrepreneurship in St. Louis, and St. Louis is always cited as being one of the really prime areas for people and for people to begin startups and what have you. However, I've looked at your numbers here. We are 30th in business startups. That mm-hmm. surprised me, given all the dialogue we've had about that. Your take?
Yeah, we are about in the middle of the pack on a number of measures of innovation, including startups and patents is another one. We are above average on STEM employment, you know, the science, technology, engineering, math, which is something that every region, I think, is trying to chase after. So, we're not at the top, but we have some assets to build on.
Right. Again, you have to know about these things before you can really concentrate efforts on solving them. A couple of other things that caught my eye. We are 22nd in the number of deficient bridges. I would have guessed we'd have been worse than that, given, you know, what we hear about the bridges in Missouri.
Yeah, we actually are a bit better than a lot of our peers now. I always think it's important to know when we talk about deficient bridges that it might mean that their design is older, or it might mean that weight limits have to be lowered. It doesn't mean that they're unsafe. If a bridge is unsafe, it's closed. So I want to reassure people about that.
Yeah.
Jim? Also on that line, you know, it's kind of like no good deed goes unpunished. Mm-hmm. You know, the Missouri Department of Transportation and Illinois Department of Transportation both have invested a lot of money into preserving the system as opposed to expanding the system. And that's good in the sense of helping keeping the infrastructure good. Where it hurts is actually trying to get additional funding brought in so that we can keep that up and going.
Yeah, it would really occur to me that information of this type really should be funneled to Washington and some of the lawmakers who argue and, in fact, have not been very responsive to providing funds to improve our infrastructure. Well, clearly, there is a need here and across the entire country.
Right, and they're battling over it right now, whether how to extend it, making sure that it's a longer-term cure than what has been happening over the last 3 years or so.
Do you make sure that this information, this report, is going to get into the hands of our legislators, both in Jefferson City and Washington?
Yeah, we share this information with all of our elected officials. We try to push those issues as much as we can with them. What they do with it, is the challenge.
What they do with it or don't with it is our time is getting away. We have a call. Dennis in Overland wants to get into the discussion. Let's bring him in. But Dennis, it has to be very quick. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, it's the whole idea, I would say, is that if you build it, they'll come. And building a north thing up through Ferg and Florissant for the Metrolink and going south, we have to start thinking in terms of show them rather than waiting for things to happen. We don't seem to – we just have to be creative. Oh, the other thing is also bus stops. All across the area, a lot of those are just not conducive to people using them. It's hot and cold and rainy.
Okay. Thank you, Dennis, for the call. Yeah, he makes some points. I'm not sure they're exactly on point with what we're talking about here today. In the 2 minutes that we have left, make a couple of points, comment on them as I we rank seventh in heart disease and cancer mortality. It's pretty high.
Mm-hmm.
Fifth in heat and cold-related deaths,
right.
Something we should be paying attention to this time, if you need to say. 13th in suicides.
Yeah, the suicide figure is a bit of an enigma to me. I can't explain that. I would like to comment on the heat and cold-related deaths because I think the city of St. Louis in particular should be commended for their outreach. They've won national awards for reaching out to people who may be vulnerable in times of heat waves, and I think they've made a lot of progress in recent years.
And that's been done more by private organizations rather than government, hasn't it?
Well, I think city government, the city health department, has done a lot too. They won an award from the Kennedy School for their special needs registry, for example.
All right. And just one final area here before we have to say goodbye. On the area of government, this is going to come as no surprise. You're smiling already. We are fifth in the units of local government. I would have thought we might be first in that.
Mm-hmm.
And third in the number of local governments, municipalities, and school districts. That's our fragmentation issue, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
So this is a perennial debate in the region. Some people say it's good because it gives people lots of choice. Other people say it slows us down and makes it harder to get things done. We just present the numbers and invite others to interpret them.
And good job on putting all this together, a mammoth project, needless to say. We'll have a copy of that on our website, by the way,
great.
At stlpublicradio.org. Jim Wild, thank you so much for being with us today. And John Posey, thank you.
Thank you.
Now you
thank
can
you.
Catch your breath a little bit after all of this. Thanks for being with us. Tomorrow on Cityscape, we'll talk with author Jeff Lindsay about the eighth and final novel in his Dexter Morgan series, on which the television series was based. We'll also take a look at Stray Dog Theater's world premiere of Spellbound, a musical fable, and we'll hear the latest installment of the Cut and Paste podcast featuring a collage of thoughts from a year of artists responding to Ferguson. Monday on St. Louis on the Air, we'll talk with the Southern Illinois University System President, Randy Dunn. Archive versions of past St. Louis On the Air programs are available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org/stlonair. St. Louis On the Air is produced by Mary Edwards and Alex Hoyer, with production assistance from Aaron Dorr, Anya O'Connor, and Spencer Reed, executive producers Robert Peterson. St. Louis On the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Thank you for listening. I'm Don Marsh.